absolutely beautiful. From the album Closer to the People, Glass Love Train. The latest work by Tanita Tikaram. Delighted to be joining me on the line from the UK. Tanita Tikaram herself. Tanita, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good.
I'm good. That's good to hear. Yeah. It's been a while since we heard from you. Beautiful, beautiful song. Everybody will remember when you appeared seemingly out of nowhere. I remember you appearing out of nowhere. Was it 1988? Everybody had CDs, and everybody seemed to have your Twisted My Sobriety everywhere that I went. Every wine bar, because that's what we were doing in those days. Every cafe I went to, the Dome on the King's Road, you couldn't move for your voice. What was it like just suddenly appearing out of nowhere at the age of 19?
Well, I suppose when you're 19, you just don't know much about life, and what happened to me was I made an album and it sort of became very quickly a success, and I just thought that's what happened with
right.
the record. So I guess I was in a bit of a daze, and I at the same time tried to pretend it was normal, because when you're a kid you try to pretend everything's normal.
So how did you, where did it all come from? Because you are, as the saying goes, you're from interesting lineage. Is it Indo-Fijian stroke?
Yes, my dad is Indian Fijian and my mum is from Malaysia. So, and my dad was in the forces, so we lived a lot in Germany. And I started to write songs quite young, very young. And when I was doing my A-levels, I was already... You know, I started to write songs that actually ended up being on Ancient Hearts.
And you know, how did you get then? How did you get the album, you know, the rough cuts, the demos to your record label, which was it WEA to begin with?
Yeah, it was just one of those strange things. I did a concert, not even a concert. I did an open mic kind of evening at this place called the Acoustic Room, which was in the Mean Fiddler, which was a club in Harlesden.
I remember the Mean Fiddler.
Yes. Well, I was just doing one of their, you know, open mic nights. I wasn't famous or anything. It was my first appearance, and there were about three people in the room, but one of them was an important agent and immediately wanted to speak to me, and I had to kind of go back to Basingstoke, because we lived in Basingstoke then, and I missed him, and then he kind of found me after that. So it was one of those kind of magic things that happened.
And what was it like then? I mean, because it was the first album, and normally people spend years and years trying to get their stuff out there and do the clubs and the tours and the whole bit. Was it this kind of the same for you, or was it just an immediate overnight thing and then you were busy touring? And basically, you know, the album was a worldwide hit, you know, straight off the bat.
Basically, what happened was I started to do a lot of supporting, opening for other artists. And at the same time, I began to do a bit of recording with two men who would end up actually doing the whole album, called Rod Argent, who was in The Zombies, and Peter Van Hook. And, yeah, it was just one of those things. I can't really explain it. It just ended up being a huge success. But I'm not even sure that when we recorded the demos, we thought they would end up being a success. It was just, I mean, Rod and Pete hadn't done a big album apart from other things they'd played on, or Rod's own The Zombies, but they hadn't, as producers, made a big album. So it was also a surprise for them.
And so, what did you do? Did you hastily get a band together and go on tour? And what was the...
I did. I mean, as a support artist, I was acoustic, but obviously when the album came out, I had a band, but... I think it's funny because now I feel like I'm beginning to understand what it is to have a band. Because if I didn't grow up being in a band. I was just that archetypal teenager in the bedroom writing songs. So that was a whole learning process.
But you went from being that teenager, you know, in the bedroom writing pretty much songs to yourself to selling 4 million copies of the album worldwide.
Exactly, yeah. So, and I guess a lot of the things that you learn being a musician, I had to learn them public, really.
So you know, from then it was you. How difficult was it then to go back after the initial success and seeing the world and you know being the you know, hearing your songs everywhere? Mm-hmm. To do, as I say, the things with being a writer is you get a brilliant first novel, then you have to do it all over again. Did you kind of have that feeling when it came to okay, sitting down now we have to make The Sweet Keeper?
I guess yes. I mean, not in a horrible way, but I guess when you have success, you kind of have. You kind of have to chase it, but I've always had this other thing which is kind of a bit dreamy and a bit, oh, I'm going to go off and live here and be a bit dreamy, and then I'll go there and be a bit dreamy, and that part of me probably nourishes the songwriting part of me, and I don't think I've lost that, even though I also had this kind of success. I still was a teenager trying to be an artist in another. The success is something on the side, almost. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just about, yes.
Sorry. But I guess I've never felt not like an artist trying to find their voice. That's what I'm trying to say.
You had a couple of albums in the mid-90s, and then you sort of did what very few people did. You took a time out and you moved to the States.
Yes, I did, and I mean, when you are very young and you have a lot of success, you have a lot of decisions made for you, not because people are horrible, but because that's just the nature of success. So I just needed to not do that and not do anything particularly constructive, but just find out who I was, really. So, yeah, I guess I did that, so...
And you know, what did you actually get up to? Were you still writing songs? Did you go off into a yoga retreat? What did you do? You just escape?
No, I just sort of, I don't know. I just hung out a bit, and I have quite a romantic vision of being an artist, and sort of waiting for songs to arrive, and trying to see if you can do something else. But eventually, you come back to being, you know, who you are. I think, as I said, the hardest thing about being successful when you're young is that you don't necessarily feel that you own your success. So you don't know whether you should be a musician, you don't know whether you should be a writer, but actually now I think that's what I'm supposed to do, so...
And of course, we mustn't forget, you know, there is more than one star in the family because of your brother, Ramon, or Rome, I can't remember how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Ramon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because this morning I was just thinking about, was it This Life, wasn't it, he was massively famous for?
Yeah, he's an actor, so... Yeah.
So, I mean, did you actually at any point look at each other and go, oh, I can't quite believe this is happening within the family?
Not really. No, I mean, he's an actor and I'm a musician. I guess that's it, really. We just ended up being those. I still think about, I mean, I do think it's a wonderful thing to have the ability to work in something that you're passionate about. I do think that's a privilege. Because I'm sure lots of people do jobs that they're not particularly passionate about, and if you're an artist, you are allowed to do that and get paid.
It's like being on the radio sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know...
So what, I mean, you've done a few bits and pieces. You came back, you came back from Southern California to the leafy enclaves of Primrose Hill, I believe, which must have been a seamless move. What, you know, did you think you wanted to come back and get back into the business? And what, you know, what brought you back to the UK and to putting the album out last year, which has been very well received close to the people?
Yeah, I started to tour a bit with a particular group of musicians. I began to really feel part of the family, musical family, and I've worked very closely with the same people for a few years doing concerts, and I guess I also have wanted to record with them, but I've also felt like, oh my God, I'm not getting younger, I should be working a bit more and making music. When you find the right people to make music with, you obviously want to make more. So I think it's as simple as that, really. and beginning to understand the actual joy of being in a band.
And
it's a very specific thing, and that's different to being a songwriter, being a solo musician.
I mean, what do you prefer? Do you prefer being on the road and performing live, or are you more at home with in the studio, tinkering around, on the desk and doing the bits and bringing the faders up and down? Where do you think that the real you comes through?
I think live, perhaps. Well, no, I mean, I love to make records, but it's so stressful. It drives you insane. And you can never. There's so many perilous moments in making a record that you just don't know, that you can't control. And it's not that you can control a live event. It's just that you have a connection, a human connection with the audience, which kind of propels you to be better. And in a studio, it's very difficult to know what you're doing. It's really strange. You try to do something that's dynamic and interesting to a listener, but even mastering a song that you feel that you've really mixed well, you could suddenly fail at that moment to do a good job. It's so complicated.
Anna, do you find that you're like myself, you're a 40 somethinger, because yeah. We grew up with that meet, and do you think that your craft has matured as I mean, I always like to think hope that my craft has matured, but do you think that as a songwriter you've matured, and your audience has obviously changed from those who came to see you when you were in your teens, your early 20s?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. Again, I feel it's very much a collaborative thing. I write the last album I wrote with each of the musicians I toured with, because I thought it was a nice thing to do, and because they play very, different instruments, a double bass or a clarinet or a saxophone, it just makes you write differently. And I think now, because record sales are almost less important, I think that people's expectations of going to a concert are very different. I think audiences are incredibly open now, and they just want to have a lovely evening of music. So I've noticed that as a concert goer, and as somebody performing, I'm really heartened by how the audience just wants to listen to lots of different kinds of music.
That's an interesting point, because if you like, when you hit the scene in the mid to late 80s, we were looking at, CDs were the big thing, and everything was being produced and overdubbed and produced to the nth degree.
Mm.
And now you find that people are perhaps looking, I mean, there's a return to vinyl, which we haven't seen before, and there's a return to real, okay, you've got one end of the spectrum, which is the EDM stuff and the Biebers and the auto voice and auto cue and all that sort of stuff. But there's from a live band base, there's more and more people wanting to go and see real musicians in more intimate gigs.
Absolutely. I do that. I've just seen phenomenal people live who you probably have never heard of, but they have great musicians, they're great singers, and I think live is now almost more important than making records, and you really get to, like you said, have an intimate experience with an artist, with a singer or a band, and that's a real thing that I think is a positive thing at the moment.
And it must be quite a thing as well, to when you're testing out new material with your band, and you look around and you think, here's a new one, and then you're looking across the first couple of rows, looking for the reaction.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to. Yeah, to see what works all the time. Yeah, especially live.
Yeah. What are the plans then for 2017? And like I said, the album has been very well received when it came out last year. Any plans for some more live gigs, or are you getting back into the studio?
We've got a big gig coming up at the Barbican on the 24th in London. And then I think there's a new single, Cool Waters, which has been remixed. So that's coming out. And then hopefully writing. I have to write another one. So inspiration, please, universe.
I mean, yes. I mean, do you often think that you sit down with that blank piece of paper and go, oh, blimey, or is it just one of those, you know, you get a beat in your head, you get a lyric that keeps going round and round, you get a guitar, you know, a chord progression that you can't put down?
Yeah, I mean, I do the blank piece of paper, staring at it, because I think that's a good discipline sometimes. But actually, when I write very intensely, so I could maybe not write anything for 2 years, and then suddenly I'll write all the songs in a couple of months. And it's always something that spooks me, because you never know whether you're going to write again. But somehow a song comes. I do not understand the process.
It's you challenging, the people would say it's just you challenging channeling the universe. That's probably what it might be.
Yeah, it's probably cosmic, yeah.
Any chance of you touring in Europe anywhere where our listeners could, perhaps coming down to Spain or playing mainland Europe in the new year?
Probably. I'm probably going to be in Scandinavia in autumn and Germany. So hopefully Spain.
Yes. We'd like that a lot. If people want to find out some more information about what you're up to, I know that you tweet, because you retweeted me straight away, and that made me laugh.
Yeah, no, I tweet, and also my Facebook page, my official Facebook page, will always have all the updates. And if you want to find out what concerts are happening, just go to either of those things.
Super. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Best of luck with the gig at the Barbican. It sounds like it's going to be an absolutely superb occasion on the 24th.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
The pleasure's been. We'll be checking you out on the social media. And yes, let us know with any plans with the tour. Tanita Tikaroma, I thought we'd play out with a bit of a blast from the past and twisted my sobriety. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks, Charles. Bye.
Bye.